It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
This is Aaron.
And this is Craig.
And this is Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone, the podcast that brings you the weirdest in news and the strangest in stories and whatever we find funny. We're coming to you today from our alternate studio.
Yes, the satellite studio.
Cellulite. It's a pretty nice studio.
We couldn't go to the Lee Berry Studios today because it burned down.
It did
no,
not.
No, it didn't really burn
down. Don't be telling rumors.
No, it didn't burn down. We couldn't do it today. And I actually like this, even though some people complain that it's hot.
It's very hot in the studio.
It's not really hot.
The studio is like I'm sweating.
No, I mean, this is very homey
time.
Here.
Well, it's much more comfortable than our Lee Berry complex, but...
Okay, well, so either way, get over it because we're here and we got a bunch of stories.
Boy, do we have some stories today.
We got one about Chile, but I want to say Chile.
Well, go ahead and say Chile.
No, because then I get hungry and it's not the way to pronounce it. And I feel stupid saying Chile. Did I ever tell you about the time I went and got a scone?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, Starbucks?
So I shouldn't tell the story again.
Well, go ahead. No,
I went in, I went in and I wanted to order a scone, but yeah. I felt really pretentious. I felt like kind of snooty.
Yeah.
Because scone is just a snooty way of saying like Danish or something, really. I mean, they're different.
It's like a blueberry biscuit shape.
Like a biscuit
like
thing.
Triangle.
Yeah. So I walked up to the girl and I said, I think I'll have a scone. I said it like that. And she laughed, which I don't think is allowed if you work at Starbucks.
You're not supposed to laugh.
And she gave me my scone. But I couldn't bring myself to... this is a true story. I couldn't bring myself to say it the right way because I felt so stupid saying scone.
Okay, first story.
Chile accidentally... They didn't spell accidentally right, I don't think, did they?
Yes, they did.
Oh, they did.
That is correct.
It's just one of those moments where words don't look right. Chile accidentally sends tank of full cocaine.
Tank full of cocaine
to the Swiss Army. Talk about being neutral.
Really?
They're so neutral that they like said, just send us the cocaine.
Yeah.
And we'll distribute it.
We'll take care of it.
We'll
cut out all the middle people.
That's right. 38 kilos of cocaine with a street value estimated at $15.5 million was found in a container sent from Chile to Swiss defense firm RUAG, that is. The surprise package, I bet was a surprise, was hidden in a shipment of tanks that were sent last year for overhaul at the Thun-based company. What's Thun-based?
They have a lot of Thun there.
Fun.
Yeah.
The discovery of drugs last September was only revealed in the 2015 annual report of the Burns Cantonal Justice Authorities, and the Swiss media didn't pick up on the story until Friday.
Good grief, that's a long time.
That is a long time. Well, they had to get through all the blow first before they could. The Chilean state-owned weapons manufacturer, FAMAE, had sent the tanks to RUAG. Okay, wait, what we got here is really badly spelled words, or these are acronyms, my friend.
Yes, they are.
So from now on, for the rest of the story, I'm going to refer to FAMAE as FAME and RUAG as RUAG.
Okay,
we got that now?
Yeah.
Okay, so we go. The Chilean state-owned weapons manufacturer, FAME, had sent the tanks to RUAG for an overhaul of their engines and transmission systems in 2015. The drugs were stashed in two packages and had a purity of 80%. They just weren't trying hard enough. That's a B, isn't it? Or is that a C?
I don't know, but that's pretty pure.
The annual report said the containers carrying the tanks and the hidden drugs had reached Switzerland from a Chilean port via Peru through the Panama Canal, arriving in Europe at the port of Rotterdam, where it was sent to
Basel, I guess.
Media reports in Chile claim that an external company was charged with preparing the shipment of tanks.
They sure did.
And delivering them to the port from the town of Talagante, near the Chilean capital of Santiago. FAME launched an investigation into the company to check if it met the required security standards for transporting military equipment. Well, apparently it didn't say anywhere on there that you couldn't put cocaine.
You know, they should have known there was something wrong when they saw the note on the tank window that said, snitches be warned.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I was slow on the uptake on that
one. That's okay.
For those of you who aren't in the know, you should listen to two of our past podcasts.
That's
correct. You understand that. The Bern public prosecutor, Christoph Schürer, told Swiss news agency ATS on Friday that there was no legal obligation for the authorities to communicate the presence of the drugs, as it was not a case of significant public interest.
Oh, really? I can find some people that'd be interested.
Yeah, I bet, yeah. An investigation was launched to locate the source of the drugs, but the case was closed in June 2016 after no progress was made.
Oh, is that how it works over there?
Apparently. Schürer also added that no rug employee was suspected, given that the drugs were left unattended for 2 weeks in the container. The investigation could be reopened if new evidence comes to light, especially at the Chilean end.
So
I'm thinking nobody wants to reopen this. I think they're having a good time.
And there's probably twice as much that they found than is what is reported.
But they put them in tanks.
Yeah.
What the heck? Was that a drop and somebody didn't pick them up?
I don't know. Maybe the shipment was speedily set up.
But somebody on the inside was trying to smuggle them through tanks because nobody's going to inspect tanks, I guess.
That's right. Who would?
Me.
I bet they will now.
Because tanks are cool.
Tanks, yeah. Tanks a lot.
Well, you got your one pun out of the way.
I only get one? Okay, next story.
How responsible you are the rest of the show.
Okay. Robber steals cash from Baskin-Robbins in Little Rock. Takes an ice cream cone on the way out.
As you would.
Well, sure, why not? I might not even bother with the cash.
I would probably just stick one of those big tubs.
Yes.
Just under my arm.
Yeah.
Just walk out.
I'd take one of each.
And I would just scoop it out with my hand.
Just eat it in the car.
Because here's the deal. Yeah. I'm going to be a bad enough criminal that I'm going to get arrested.
Yeah.
So they're going to find me in a dairy stupor behind a dumpster somewhere. They're going to find my head. Maybe like one of those animals that gets their head stuck in a can.
Yeah.
You're going to find me with my head in that thing. And they're be like,
get off me.
So tell us what happens over there in the Little Rock area.
Okay. A Little Rock ice cream shop was robbed for at least the fourth time in 2 years Sunday afternoon. Police arrived at the Baskin-Robbins a little after 1:30 p.m., according to a Little Rock Police Department incident report. The cashier told investigators the robber entered the store with a knife and told her to open the cash register.
Wait a minute. Lots of people enter the store with a knife.
Yeah.
He just had his extended.
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
The man reportedly grabbed an unknown amount of cash from the register.
Wait a minute. He couldn't look and see what he had?
And put it in a brown paper bag. The robber then started to leave.
Okay, wait.
What do you got?
When's the last time you could find a paper bag somewhere?
Oh, he had to have it with him in his back pocket.
No, but I mean, like, where'd he get it? I'm suspicious of where he got it. Is it like a black market thing for paper bags?
I don't know. That's a good point.
I guess lunch bags.
Yeah,
maybe.
You could buy them. You could buy a pack of 40 at the grocery store for like $5.
Why would I do that?
Well, if you're going to rob a Baskin-Robbins,
right. But then I got to take an extra $5 from the register.
Oh, yeah. To cover expenses.
To cover my expenses.
Yeah, exactly. He probably did.
It's a simple business thing.
It doesn't matter. Nobody knows how much you got anyway.
Yeah, they had no idea. They seem to be more interested in the ice cream than they are.
Aren't we all?
Some of us.
I'm thinking about it right now, actually.
I'm not.
The robber
I'm thinking about some cake.
The robber then started to leave the store, the report said, but paused long enough to grab an ice cream cone before he fled.
So the guy goes, they go, give me your money.
Yeah.
And then, like, they get his money, right? He puts it in the bag. Then the guy turns around, he gets to the door and goes, he stops on his toes.
Yeah. Oh,
well, give me some ice cream.
I'm in a Baskin-Robbins for Pete's sake.
Come on, give me some ice cream.
You think he said, give me one of those little pink spoons? Let me try that flavor.
No, he got entranced by the little pink spoons. And when the cops show up, he's still taste testing everything.
No, let me try the Rocky Road now.
Now I want to go to Baskin-Robbins.
According to Arkansas's online Little Rock crime map, Sunday's holdup marked at least the fourth time in 2 years the Baskin-Robbins at that address had been robbed. In April 2015, a man with a bandana over his face forced an employee to hand over money at gunpoint.
You know what we got to do, don't you?
What?
We got to bandanas outlaw them.
Oh, yeah, and paper bags, too.
Paper bags and bandanas have to be outlawed.
The ice cream shop was also robbed by a man in a ski mask in 2012. In Sunday's robbery...
Wait a minute. So he was skiing and he showed up to get some ice cream?
Well, it's in Little Rock, so it had to be in the winter. Because
he had a ski mask.
Yeah. That's right. In Sunday's robbery, police said the suspect is a black man and was wearing a black North Face hoodie with gray or light blue pants. So if you see that guy,
like he's Bert and Ernie, he walks around the same outfit every day.
Yeah.
Charlie Brown. If you see him in a zigzag on the front of his shirt. So do you partake of the Baskin Robbins?
I'll eat Baskin Robbins in any state.
What really?
Yeah, Boston.
New Hampshire?
Boston, Mass.
New Hampshire?
Wherever. Yeah,
Denver.
Sure. Colorado.
South Dakota.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So I've not been to Baskin Robbins in a very long time.
Really?
I think, yeah, because I'm kind of a DQ person, really.
Absolutely. Me too.
But yeah. I've had to hold back a little bit because I want to, you know, I've got a reputation for knocking down some ice cream.
Yes, you do.
And I have to be real careful.
Why?
Because I'll knock down a bunch of ice cream.
Yeah, but you're happy.
I'll die with a big smile.
Just because you've lost 40 pounds this year.
You have to tell the world.
Yeah, I'm not losing weight.
It's because you eat Buster bars every single night.
Yes.
And by the way, Dairy Queen, if somehow any of you end up hearing this, you feel free to sponsor us, and you can just pay us some Buster bars.
That's right.
Wow. Maybe I should have.
We would work for food.
Maybe I should have held out for something more.
Done.
Done.
Okay, hang on. Let me play this.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
Man accused of dumping dog feces in neighbor's car.
Yes, that's gross.
You really can't have a two middle-aged dudes show without a poop story.
We do tend to lean that way.
You really could have it without it, but
we've done it in the past.
Yeah, we have. But you know, honestly,
they're not as fun.
It's just funny.
Yeah,
it's just funny. And maybe we're 12 years old inside.
Whatever.
But we couldn't legally get the show and call it two 12-year-old dudes.
I was talking to Becca today at work. You know Becca.
No, I have no idea.
And I told her that we're like teenagers when we're recording, but we can straighten up and be adults when we need to be.
Man accused of dumping dog feces in a neighbor's car. Here we go. Ready?
That's gross.
A Bolton man. Is that a Michael Bolton man?
It's a Bolton fan.
A Bolton fan. No, a Bolton man faces numerous charges. Numerous.
Yeah, that's more than one.
That's numerous.
Yes.
Charges for a campaign of vandalism. Could we sensationalize that anymore?
Campaign of vandalism.
It's a campaign.
That's what we're going through in America now.
You vote for me to put poop in your car. I approve this message. He's facing charges for a campaign of vandalism and harassment of a neighbor that included dumping a bucket of dog feces on a seat in the neighbor's car. Did he go around finding it, or did he just teach his dog to do that in the bucket?
I don't know. That's a good question.
You know, that makes a lot more sense. I remember seeing the dog walking around with a bucket tied to his back end. Oh, my gosh. Mark A. Posterior.
It's not posterior.
Pop. Well, it should be because his name's posterior. Talk about posterior.
Pop posterior.
Pooping in the guy's car. Got to fill a bucket.
Working on my campaign.
Working on my campaign. Gonna get the dog feces. Mark A. Posterero, 49, of Stewart Avenue, was arrested after a Warren County Sheriff's Office investigation into a series of incidents over more than a year where the neighbor's Hyundai sedan and John Deere riding mower were damaged, police said. He was accused of pouring soda into the gas tank of the mower, damaging its dashboard, and putting dog feces in the car, police said. The tractor suffered $1,500 of damage.
Well,
that's a brand new tractor. But the car did not suffer lasting damage. I would disagree.
Try riding in it.
Yeah. Sheriff's Lieutenant Steve Stockdale said the two had a dispute over property that belonged to a friend who died. Posterior was charged with felony criminal mischief and misdemeanor criminal tampering for the damage, according to the sheriff's office. He was released pending prosecution in Bolton Town Court. That's a situation where they should just let somebody dump some in his car.
Yes, revenge. But I would like to see this.
You just taught all the kids out there revenge is sweet. What is wrong with you?
Vengeance.
I was just saying a judge, which would not be, he would not
no,
be.
No, the judge would say you can have vengeance.
The judge wouldn't. The judge would say, telling you this is his punishment.
Why am I the bad guy here? You brought it up.
I don't know. I guess it was the way you were raised.
So I would like to see these folks like on a reality show. That would be fun. That would be, you know what that would be?
Boring show.
That would be, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Appointment television.
What?
That would be appointment television.
Appointment? Like you make an appointment to go see it?
No, I've got an appointment with my TV. I can't be bothered.
That makes no sense.
Appointment television. You never heard of that?
Yeah, just now. How do they know that the dog wasn't driving the car and the dog was pooping in the car? Because I was at the Speedway the other day. We got the Speedways here, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a dog driving a car.
Nuh-uh.
Well, he was sitting at the driver's seat.
Well, he's not driving the car.
As far as
my dog does that.
Your dog drives.
Okay.
How do you know he's not driving?
Because the mileage.
Okay, ready for a story that's it's about a naturalist?
Yeah, what's a naturalist?
Somebody who's naked.
Okay.
Nudist who ordered breadsticks also served his own.
What does that even?
His own people? His own breadsticks?
Does that make sense?
I don't know. A self-proclaimed nudist caused a scene. Caused a scene at a Capitol Hill Italian restaurant Monday when he dropped his shorts after placing an order of breadsticks. I mean, okay, let's keep. Here we go. I must know more.
Keep going.
A student cop.
A student with his, cop?
A student cop.
Was he in training?
I don't know. Yeah. Well,
oh, he is.
A student. Can I read the story now?
Go ahead. Start over.
A student cop with his field training officer was sent to Amante Pizza and Pasta on East Olive Way in Capitol Hill. They arrived about 5:35 p.m. to find a 33-year-old man sitting naked
on a couch. Ooh.
Well, burn that couch.
Bring the bleach.
He told police that as a nudist, he regularly travels naked. He mentioned that he carries clothes in his backpack.
Well, wait a minute. If he's wearing a backpack, is that really naked?
One person at the restaurant told officers he entered the restaurant wearing shorts and asked for an order of breadsticks. The customer then asked the person to take a picture of him.
It's bizarre.
When the witness looked through the camera screen, he found that the customer had removed his shorts and was naked. A second witness also told officers he was alarmed by seeing the naked man and told cops the same man had done the same thing at other locations. What is this guy following him? Is he a groupie?
This guy's got issues.
No, I'm saying the witness.
I understand what you're saying.
The witness is like, he's done this.
The naturalist has issues.
Well, I guess. Officers arrested the man and booked him into King County Jail for investigation of misdemeanor indecent exposure. I just like the idea. Was the trigger breadsticks? Is it like some kind of a... Like
maybe. This is what I find interesting is he said, can you take my picture? Gave him the camera. It somehow got naked by the time they lifted the camera up to look through the viewfinder.
I'm sure, it was.
He's like the Flash.
Yeah. Yes, in more ways than one. See what we did there?
Okay, Craig, next headline. A Houston 911 operator charged over hanging up on callers. You know, if you're a 911 operator, you've got one job.
You're not allowed to hang up on people.
You don't hang up on people. A former Houston, you see that word former? That's what happens.
Yeah. That's the key operative right there.
It is. A former Houston 911 operator is facing criminal charges for hanging up on callers because she did not want to talk to anyone.
Okay. You're in the wrong line of work. Could you see that meeting with the manager? Sonny, Crescendo, I need to see you in the office.
Crescendo Williams, 43, faces two misdemeanor charges of interference with emergency telephone calls stemming from incidents in March.
So wait, so back to they go to their office, right?
Right.
They call her in, they're like, hey, Crescendo, come in here. I'm going to call her Crescendo because it's easier.
Whatever.
They go in, they're saying, she goes, we have a small problem with you. We just need to kind of work this out. When someone calls with, let's just hypothetically say, an emergency.
Since we are 911.
We are going to need you to maybe speak to the person and find out what their emergency is.
I just didn't feel like talking to anybody.
I just don't want to talk to anybody.
According to charge documents, Williams worked for the Houston Emergency Center, where managers determined that she was involved in thousands of short calls. Emergency calls that last less than 20 seconds.
What is wrong with a person that takes this job and then does that?
Aren't they supposed to like keep you on the line as long as possible?
Do you think that this is the same kind of person that if you flipped it, they would be the person calling 911 for useless reasons?
Yeah, McDonald's is out of chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah. In one case...
Wait.
No, they're not really. I just made an
scared
example.
Scared me to death just then.
In one case, Williams allegedly hung up on a man who called to report a robbery in progress. Hu Lai told NBC affiliate KPRC that he had been buying lottery tickets at a convenience store when a gunman entered and tried to force his way through the door of a stained glass
nice.
Lottery's at church.
That was a very beautiful convenience store.
Hao Lai told NBC affiliate KPRC that he had been buying lottery tickets at a convenience store when a gunman entered and tried to force his way through.
Wait, did the guy have a bucket of ice cream with him? Oh, no, that guy had a knife.
As the two clerks attempted to block the door, Lee says he ran for the from the store and heard several gunshots. When he got in his car, he called 911 immediately for help. They just said, "This is 911. How can I help you?"
911, how can I help you?
I was trying to finish my sentence and we got disconnected, Lee said. Police said that Williams was the 911 operator and that she terminated the call within a few seconds.
Was she hitting the wrong button or she
I
just
don't think
didn't,
so. She was just grouchy. Lee called a second time and got a different operator. But by the time police arrived, the store manager had been shot.
Oh, no way.
And killed. Yes. Lee called. No, she's in trouble.
Hey, that's blood on Crescendo's hand.
Yes, it is. Lee called a second time and got a different operator. Did I just read that sentence or am I having deja vu?
I don't know.
Yeah, I did. Lee told.
I don't listen to most of the stuff you say anyway.
Lee told the news that 911 is not there for you, that if 911 is not there for you, nobody is going to help you. You're on your own. In a separate incident, Williams allegedly hung up on a security guard calling to report reckless driving and can be heard saying, "Ain't nobody got time for this, for
oh,
real."
Oh, no.
According to charged documents.
Oh, Jesus is a fire.
Williams no longer works for the Houston Emergency Center, and she's scheduled to appear in court next week.
What a piece of work.
You know what? She's derelict of duty for sure.
Why would you take a job? No, like, I wouldn't take a job shoveling, like, you know,
dog dung into a car.
Or you know, picking up garbage or something. I mean, if I didn't like what the, I mean, I'm nothing against that job. I just, if I didn't want to do it, I'm not going to go take the job.
No. She had issues. You know what? Most of the people we cover on this podcast have issues.
It's like they're only weird stories we cover. Hey, Aaron.
Hey.
There's an Englishman.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them, actually. This one spent 11 hours trying to make a cup of tea with a Wi-Fi kettle.
What in the world?
First of all, what's a Wi-Fi kettle?
Well, maybe we'll find out.
But this guy actually seems like he's probably technically inclined, too. He's a data specialist. His name's Mark Rittman.
Rittman!
Yeah, Rittman.
Get in here!
He spent an entire day attempting to set up his new appliance so that it would boil on command.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
All Mark Rittman wanted was a cup of tea. Little did he know he would have to spend 11
Good
hours
night.
Waiting for his new high-tech kettle to boil water. You know, sometimes you just don't need to improve on what's working.
Absolutely.
You just take a kettle and put it on the stove.
3 minutes later, you got tea.
Or how about this? How about just put a mug with water in the microwave?
Or how about this? Drive by your local Starbucks.
I know, but
let's get a cup of tea.
Let's say Rittman didn't have the money, right?
Rittman. Okay, he's strapped.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he can't move because he's strapped down. But let's say he didn't have money, right?
Right.
So he's trying to save money.
Yeah.
He could, if he's got a microwave, even the cheapest microwave,
yeah.
You know, he could put a cup of water in there and heat it up.
Most people's microwaves are nothing but water heaters. But the thing is, this guy reminds me of you, and I think I figured it out. I think he said, "Wow, they've got a Wi-Fi kettle. I got to have it." And it maybe it had
that does sound like me.
Yeah, maybe it had a little Apple symbol on it, and he had to have it like immediately or something like you.
Who are you looking at?
But the thing is,
Mr. Everything I Own is Apple.
And then he couldn't get home and figure it out.
No, I think he got home and it was a stupid idea to begin with.
Well, let's read it and find out.
Rittman, a data specialist who lives in Hove, England, set about to try to make a cup of tea around 9 a.m., but thanks to his Wi-Fi-enabled kettle, it wasn't long before he ran into trouble. 3 hours later, the kettle was still having problems. The main issue seemed to be that the base station was not able to communicate with the kettle itself.
Ah, what we had there is a failure to communicate.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
News of Rittman's plight quickly spread on Twitter, further slowing his progress.
so he's putting out Twitters. Do you
still
say tweets? Tweets. He's tweeting
tweets.
About this as he goes.
He's tweeting on the Twitter. Still the kettle refused to play ball. Well, obviously, he didn't get a Johnny Bench batter up. He's got a... That was me thrown out of sports.
Yeah,
reference.
That's why I laugh so hard.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever heard anything like that.
So the kettle refused to play ball, which I don't know why he'd be upset because it's obviously meant to boil water. A key.
Hey, no wonder it wasn't working. He bought it for the wrong reason.
Kettle, water, no. A key problem seemed to be that Rittman's kettle didn't come with software that would easily allow integration with other devices in his home, including Amazon Echo, which, like Apple Siri, allows users to tell connected smart devices what
to do.
So
you could say, kettle, boil.
Yeah. So Rittman was trying to build the integration functionality himself.
Aha. Uh-huh.
There's the problem.
Much like you.
Why are you so harsh on me right now?
I can see you doing all this.
Then, after 11 hours, a breakthrough.
Oh, yay.
The kettle started responding to voice control. And finally?
What?
Success.
Yes.
Although some people following Rittman's progress justifiably wondered what was wrong with the old technology.
That's what we were wondering.
And here's the crazy part.
Yeah.
He wasn't even thirsty for tea anymore after...
It was bedtime.
You know, I've actually done that kind of stuff, though. If I get, like, some kind of a gadget and I'm trying to get working, I will, like, it'll be 2 in the morning. I got to go to bed.
I remember when you got your 3D printer. I was getting, like, updates from you at 2 a.m. I didn't get them, of course, till 5 a.m. when I awoke. Okay, hey, you know what? Craig, you know what?
What?
So UK, you know, they have this.
I'm okay, UK.
They have some new money. They have a new 5 pound note.
Their money is heavy over there.
Yeah, it's heavy.
It's a pound. It's 5 pounds. Can we get people in the UK to tell us something? Why is your money so heavy?
So the headline is UK's new 5 pound note has a second use.
I bet it could play vinyl records.
It plays vinyl records.
How does that work?
Okay, so the value of the British pound sterling may have been dropping in recent weeks, but imaginative Brits have found a way to put cash to work. It turns out the new plastic 5 pound note can be used as a stylus to play vinyl records. That's pretty cool. A number of YouTube videos have been posted in recent days showing the new note playing music on a turntable.
We got to post that.
Yeah, we should try it. I wonder if somebody can send us a 5 pound note.
Yeah, we're not going to do it for this. We just want to spend it.
Yeah, where are you going to spend it?
Because it's actually worth more than our dollar.
Though it must be said that the fidelity does not match the sound produced by expensive equipment.
But the pound is a piece of paper, right?
One's plastic.
Oh.
Yeah. The plastic note is illustrated with images of Queen Elizabeth II and Winston Churchill, a personal hero of mine. It was introduced last month to generally favorable reviews. The note's worth just over...
For its sound quality or for its spending quality?
The note is worth just over six pounds or dollars at Wednesday's rate. The pound has been dropping largely because of concerns about Britain leaving the European Union.
Which has already happened.
Yeah, I want to get one and see if it'll play some of my
own. You
want
to get
records.
A European Union?
Sure, why not?
I mean, there's an opening.
Hey.
What?
This next story, I get to play another theme song. You know how I love that? That's like my hobby. Hang on, let me
play the new one.
Okay.
Beloved cat fired from his job at a local public library.
I bet he was sleeping on the job.
No.
Catnap.
No. Yeah, no.
Why?
He didn't know the Dewey Decimal System. The town politics in the suburb of Fort Worth, Texas.
Here we go, Texas.
Yep. Are getting catty.
You know what? I'm gonna have to come up with a Fort Worth, Texas thing.
Yeah, you are. The town politics in the suburb of Fort Worth, Texas are getting catty.
Look at you.
No, that's what it says, catty. I didn't make that one up. Browser, the beloved cat that has been a fixture of the local library
for
6 years.
I wonder if it was like Firefox.
Probably Netscape.
Yeah,
that's
probably.
Why I fired him because nobody wanted him anymore.
He didn't work anymore.
He didn't do anything at all. He recently lost his job. On June 14th, the city council voted to remove the cat from the public library, and now he has 30 days to find a new home.
Wait,
I really want that newspaper picture of him in cuffs being hauled out.
They're leaving it up to him to find a new home?
Yeah. Get your own house. Get your own job.
Look, you don't work here anymore, right?
Meow. What do you mean do you get severance?
Hey, take these cat treats and get out of here.
I want to see him with his wee little box with all his stuff in it walking out the door.
A little bitty plant sticking out of catnip.
Catnip plant. The White Settlement Public Library. That sounds very racist.
Okay, here you go again.
The White Settlement
We're
Public
get
Library.
More emails.
I don't care. You know what? It sounds very racist. The White Settlement Public Library adopted the White Settlement. That is very racist, by the way.
That's not our public library.
Adopted their furry friend in October 2010 from a local animal shelter, according to their website. Well, let me tell you something, White Settlement Public Library.
Yeah, tell
them. You don't just throw an animal out because you get tired of him or because he's crapping all over the library.
And we have laws in this country. If you adopt, you can't unadopt.
Yeah.
So that cat belongs to their library.
We're going to incite hatred from animal lovers everywhere. So anyway, mayor of White Settlement, they like to say that over and over again. Ron, you're lying to me.
The comedian.
You're lying to me. Wait, it's White Settlement and the guy's name is Ron White.
Yes.
You tell me this isn't racist.
I'm telling you, it's not racist.
Mayor of, okay, you don't think it's a coincidence that it's mayor of White Settlement, that's what it's called,
yeah.
And the guy's name is Ron White.
Right. Right, White.
Righty, Whitey. He said the cat was originally adopted to help with a rodent problem, a common tactic used in libraries. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's just a common tactic.
Sure.
Used in libraries. Despite this, Browser has become more than just a protector of books. Browser has become our library's mascot, the site reads. The cat is even the face of their annual calendar, which is sold as a fundraiser. So what's the problem?
What is the problem? Why'd they fire this cat if everybody loves it so much?
Well, recently, the town council decided that animals are no longer allowed in the city facilities.
Oh, they took it to the top.
Why couldn't he be grandcatted in?
like that. I like that a lot.
White told the ABC told ABC News that this decision came seemingly out of nowhere.
So White is not happy with this decision. Ron White wants the cat to stay in the library.
He's not. Mayor Ron White is not the villain in this
exactly.
story. He opposes the cat's eviction and maintains the cat is harmless and beyond that, a positive asset
well,
for
sure
the library.
It is.
He's a mascot.
How does he help children read?
Well, because people cats are very good readers.
Read it out.
Here's the problem. Okay, this is where everybody goes wrong
it's
with cats.
It's pronounced the, not the.
Okay. Here's where people go wrong with cats.
Okay.
It's cats can read. They just don't have opposable thumbs.
They can't open the books.
They can't open the books and turn the pages. But if you're there to help them, they're very. They talk like crazy.
They can read until they get eye problems, like cataracts.
Okay, so he helps children read. White said the little children will come to the library and they'll read to browser.
I bet he loves that.
White added that since the council's decision, he has been flooded by emails from people throughout the country upset with browser's presumptive removal.
Well, I'm upset too, and I don't even know the cat.
And you know what? Browser is a free agent. Browser could name his price right now.
Browser could. That's right.
That's right. Okay, so that's another episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
Another good batch of stories, I think.
That was pretty good.
Yep.
Pretty good. So maybe next week we'll be back in the Lee Berry Studios again.
I hope so.
And
too hot in here.
Until then, you guys go out there and rate us and give us some reviews.
Please.
So if you wouldn't mind doing us a solid there. That's how the kids say it today.
Yeah, do us a solid.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next time.
See you later.
It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.